You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Take our Bibles and turn to Matthew 13. And while we're turning there, I just want to make sure, I guess my lapel mic is turned on. I failed to get that on at the early service. And I am so humbled and deeply honored to stand before you today on your pastor's 10th anniversary. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing here today? And so if you're a guest, I'm here to tell you, come back to hear the main man preach. And please do that. And thank you, Victory Baptist Church, for loving Pastor and Mrs. Kobernat. The Bible tells us, I will give you pastors after my heart, Jeremiah tells us. And he has given you the best of the best. Both your pastor and pastor's wife, they're sweet girls. I saw Chloe and Kylie sitting over here with my wife, and I thought, uh-oh, those girls are going to get in trouble because my wife will talk to them the whole time. So I'm glad they got dismissed to junior church so they don't get in trouble for speaking with her. But we've enjoyed our time with you now. Last night, what a gift. And then the 8:30 service. Thank you for inviting me. I'm not sure Pastor Kobernat loves me or hates me. And did you know what time it was in California during your early service this morning? And so, he told my wife, now you don't have to come, you know. And so, but I enjoyed that immensely and looking forward to what God has in store for us today. When I found out that it was going to be your pastor's 10th anniversary, I know I mentioned to Pastor Treber, we wanted to do something in recognition of his 10 years as well. And so we also have just a small presentation for you, Pastor Kobernat, on behalf of Dr. Jack Treber, North Valley Baptist Church, and Golden State Baptist College. And so we have this beautiful recognition for you as well. And it says, in recognition of 10 years pastoring Victory Baptist Church, Jeremy Kobernat presented February 4, 2024, Dr. Jack Treber, Golden State Baptist College. And so we love you, my brother, and we're grateful to you for setting the standard high for the alumni of Golden State Baptist College. I love you, my brother. Thank God for you.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
We'll let you have that there and take care of that. And so I could not be more grateful for his testimony and his faithfulness, he and his wife and their faithful service here. And you know that you're the beneficiaries of their lives. And so we thank the Lord so very much for you. We are in Matthew chapter 13 this morning. I cannot thank you enough for the beautiful accommodations. You have spoiled us. And we went to the Cracker Barrel on Friday night with your pastor and pastor's wife, Glory. We had revival. And then yesterday with the Johnsons and with the Russes, what a gift they are. And we love their families and praise the Lord for them. I saw Madeline, one of our alumni. Morris now used to be Cast. Is she in here or she may be serving in the nursery or junior church? Back over here, saw you in the choir. And we're very proud of you as well. Of course, the Bybees and on the list goes. I'm gonna mess some up. Of course, Michaela's getting married and that's so exciting. And the Pinellos I haven't seen yet, but I'm hoping to see you before we head out of town. And we just thank the Lord for the alumni that God has assimilated here. And of course, Miss Suttmeyer, where is she at? Is she in here right now or is she serving on the bus ministry? And looking forward to what God will do through their family in the future there as well. We're in Matthew chapter 13, and I believe you do stand out of respect for the Word of God. If you can stand, that would be great. If you can't, we understand that. And I'm just going to read beginning in verse number 1 of Matthew 13, a very well-known passage of Scripture, but I pray that this truth would come afresh and new and alive this morning from this text. The Bible says in verse 1, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." So what's happening now, Jesus would often, there would be the masses that wanted to come hear him teach and preach and watch the miracles that he would perform and got to where he would enter into boats in the Sea of Galilee and thrust out a little from the land. He would use the water to amplify his voice. And then, of course, it was sloped, and so it was like a natural amphitheater as he begins to teach the people these various parables. And he says in the end of verse 3, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, I'm sure that we're all familiar with this parable of the sower. And there's four different types of grounds that we're going to look at this morning. And I'm praying I'll do a better job communicating this than the 8:30 service. My Lord willing, my mind is a little more awake. And I don't want to brag on myself because you never know, right? And so, but that God would bring these truths to light again this morning in a crystal clear way. That would be so helpful to us this morning. So let's bow for prayer and ask God to meet with us. Father, what a wonderful day to be in your house on this great occasion. And Lord, I'm so humbled. I want to die to myself. I pray that you would cleanse me, Lord, from any pride or sin that would hinder you from filling me. I want to empty me of me. And Lord, I want to be filled with your presence and your power. And God, I pray that you would communicate only what you want communicated this morning to the hearts of your people. We thank you for the faithfulness of this wonderful church family who stand before me. I pray, God, that you'd pour out your richest blessings upon them. Give us clarity now as we look at your word, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so very much for standing. I love this parable. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And as Jesus, who was the master teacher, would teach these parables, they created interest for what he was saying. I'll be honest with you, I've been in church all of my life, and I can think back on messages I heard as a young man, and I can't recall the text of the passage that we were at, or potentially the title of the message, but there are many messages as a young man I can recall, the story that was told and the truth that God opened my eyes to in that message. And that is a powerful illustration of why Jesus would use parables as he taught, because they give us windows. They're like windows that shed light on the truths of God's word, but they also create interest for what he was saying. He would be speaking to the multitudes, and he would talk about a fishing net, you know, and now all of a sudden, all the fishermen there in the crowd, their ears perked up, and they were zeroed in, and if you weren't a fisherman, you were probably related to one or very close friends of one. And he, in this passage, in this parable, talks about the sower. And now all of the farmers and those that work with agriculture, they are in tune with what Jesus is about to teach now. And they're listening intently to what he wants to communicate to their heart. And so now he's created interest, and he's made this truth easier to be understood by the hearts of God's people. And it made it easier for him to the folks to remember what he actually said or taught. But the other thing about these parables that are so powerful, and especially this one to me, is that these parables give us insight into how God views us. So God is in heaven this morning, and we know his presence is every place at all times. His Spirit is with us today. But as the Father looks down upon this church this morning, and as he observes my heart, and as he observes your heart, he puts our heart into one of four categories. Now, I want to, just by way of introduction, remind us that as he looks at these four categories, only one out of four are productive. And God desires for your heart to be fruitful, just as he desires for my heart to be fruitful. And as I read verse 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear," it reminds me of the seven churches of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And so God says to you and I this morning, let's pay attention and listen to the heart of God about the heart of man. And God is saying, from his heart to your heart to my heart today, I have placed you into one of four categories as I view your heart. There's nothing wrong with the seed of God's word. God's word will not return void. There's nothing wrong with the seed and the power of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that God came to this earth robed in human flesh, lived a perfectly sinless life, died a substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary. And thank God on that third day, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. And he's now ascended to heaven, Acts chapter 1. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a born-again child of God. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, make today, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the day of salvation on this 10th anniversary of Pastor and Mrs. Coburnett. So God gives us insight into how he views us. Only 1/4 of the soils were fruitful soils. And may my heart cry out to God as yours this morning. Lord, help my heart to be fruitful, fertile soil for you. And so this morning we see the wayside. Verse number 4, the Bible says, And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. This is the heart of a person that needs to be converted. This parable is spoken of by the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8. And throughout the message, I'll probably refer to these other chapters to bring in more light to what Jesus is teaching. And the Bible tells us in Luke 8 and verse 12, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So this is an individual who've heard the gospel. The seed of the gospel message has been sown, but their heart is cold and calloused to the truth of God's word. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard the fact that you can have an eternal home in heaven, but to this point, you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And there are those today in our world who are so callous to salvation, and they're so callous to the truths of God's word. And I'm reminded that both Hosea and Jeremiah spoke of a fallow ground, speaking about the hearts of people. And they both said to break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground in the Bible is a ground that has been disked and prepared for the seed, and yet the soil has sat dormant for at least one season. Maybe you've been to a place where there's a lot of agriculture. I'm not sure. I've been in the dark since I got here. I commuted in the dark, and so I'm trying to place myself here in North Carolina and see what's around here. But where I grew up in Northern California, there were a lot of rice fields. And sometimes you would see fields that had been disked but sat dormant for a while. And if you ever walked out on those fields, the ground would crunch underneath you. Have anybody ever done that before? You know what I'm talking about? And so this morning, you perhaps know people, maybe your own heart, there have been some difficulties perhaps you've gone through, the seasons of life that, if you're not careful, makes your heart hardened to the Word of God. And yet, as Christians, we can be like the disc of determination and the plow of prayer to break up that fallow ground, as we are not to give up on loved ones that we've witnessed to and people that we're praying for to get saved, because God can prepare their heart to receive the seed of God's word. And so we see the seed of God's word. When I was growing up as a young man, my aunt's grandmother lived out on a big rice farm, and they had acres and acres and acres of rice fields. And it was so interesting because they would irrigate those fields. They looked like large lakes and these large plots of ground, and the ground had been tilled and prepared, and then they'd irrigated it and put water there. And I was always fascinated because a certain time of year, the rice would start to grow through the tips of the water, and you'd see the look like green grass coming through the tops of the water. And then over the next several weeks, it would grow even taller, and at some point, the water would dissipate, and then it would grow even taller, and then it would turn a golden color, and then you would see these rice harvesters out in the field harvesting the rice. It was very impressive, and I was always fascinated. How did they plant the seed? I remember asking my mother that, and my mom inquiring about this to find out that just as we think of crop dusters who would spray agriculture, they would also seed those fields as well. And so happened that one day I was out on that farm trying to catch lizards in the barn, and you know what most boys do, and having a good time. And we heard an airplane. We were running out, and there was an airplane flying over these watered irrigated fields and that was dropping the seed in the water. I couldn't believe that I was finally seeing this happening live on my family member, even if it's my aunt's grandmother, you know. And so I ran out as a young boy. If you could imagine the end of this step right here being the edge of the field, and this would be a road right here. I ran right to the edge of the field. That plane had just gone away from me, and it was turning around and coming back. And I stood at the edge of that field. I was so excited. That plane came down on the other side, and it was coming right straight towards me, and it started dropping the seed. And oh man, like little machine gun, all those seeds dropping in the water coming right at me. And I thought, this is gonna be so exciting. This is so incredible, you know. And it was, for a young boy, man, this is big time, you know. And then as it got closer, I got a little bit scared. I remember seeing the pilot's eyes. He's looking at me like, what are you doing, son, you know? I'm like, I don't know. Am I going to die? I'm not sure. We're going to find out right now. But I could not believe how the seed sprang in the water. It came right to the edge, and it stopped. There were just a couple of seeds that fell onto the road, and a couple of them that pelted me. I'm sure I'm probably still welted over that. I'm not sure. But the birds were coming, literally, lining up on the edge of the road, and they were eating the seed that fell on the wayside. And as I was reading my Bible, the next time I came to this parable, it was like a light switch went on. And I understand that in Israel and where Jesus was speaking this parable, there were terraces, but there were still walkways around the fertile ground that the seed sometimes fell on as they sowed the seed, and the birds would still show up to get that extra seed. And it reminds me that there are many times I'm sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ and someone is listening, but then the phone rings. Somebody comes out from the back of the house. Well, we don't have time right now. Somebody pulls into the driveway. Maybe you're at a restaurant. There's a disruption. And the devil is the expert at snatching away the seed that's being sown. And we need to be ever aware of that, praying that God would allow us to be used of Him to prepare the soil. You know what God, I believe, has done in 10 years at Roanoke Rapid? Did I say it right? Roanoke? I tried to say it one word. Roanoke Rapid? Or is it Roanoke Rapid one word? So Roanoke Rapid is one word, isn't it? I'm saying it wrong. Roanoke Rapid. I don't know. Anyhow, North Carolina. I believe for 10 years, God has been preparing the soil of this area for Victory Baptist Church, and the best days still lie ahead, and there are greater things to be accomplished for the glory of God. And may God give you decades together if He tarries His coming, and may great things take place through the ministry of Victory Baptist Church. But we are understanding this morning that the seed needs to be placed on fertile ground that will receive the seed of God's word. And so we have the fallow ground, or we have the wayside, if you would, the hardened earth around the fertile soil. But then Jesus speaks in verse 5 about the stony ground. The first wayside, there needs to be conversion. These are steps. I don't know if I made this clear. Each of these are steps. The first step in the life of an individual needs to be the step of salvation. And to move out of that, the wayside, and into a fertile ground, receiving the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that's what takes place with this person on the stony ground. Verse number 5 says this: some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, I want to read to you what Mark's gospel has to say in chapter 4, because it gives us a little more clarity. These are they likewise which sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, the Bible says, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's Mark chapter 4, verse number 16 and 17. So this is the individual. They hear the gospel. They quickly anon, the Bible says. They receive it immediately. And they're growing in the Lord for a short time. But the sun comes out. Verse 5 and 6 talks about that. In other words, tribulation comes along. Heartaches come along. COVID comes along. And now they're offended. It's too risky to be faithful to church. I'd rather be faithful to church and in God's house. The best place to be is in the center of God's will. And for me, that's the Lord's house on Sunday morning. And now all of a sudden, they're not involved like they used to be. Now, Satan's first tactic is, I don't want people to turn from darkness to light. I don't want them to trust Christ as their Savior. But then the second tactic, after you have trusted Christ, God doesn't want you to have a fruitful heart. He doesn't want other people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And let's be honest, if we have every member of Victory Baptist Church faithful to the mission that God has for their life, serving Him with their spiritual gifts, there are more people that could be reached with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so Satan wants to keep them from becoming fruitful. And that's the message this morning, having a fruitful heart as we think about Whole Heart Sunday, or I Love My Church Sunday. God wants your heart and mine to be fruitful. And so these are people that have the rock of offense that has been placed on their fertile heart and fertile soil. I was preaching this message years ago. We had a man in our church in Woodland who worked with landscape. And he came up to me afterwards and said, Pastor, this is powerful. He said, we will sometimes use rock for landscape. And we will put down a weed barrier on the ground. And then we'll put a bunch of rock on top of that for landscape. And he said, even after we put down weed barrier and rock on top, we still have weeds growing. And he said, you know why? I said, how is that? He said, the wind blows dust into the crevices of the rock. And in time, a seed will land in the crevices of the rock, and it doesn't take much moisture, but a little bit of dew in the morning and then sun in the afternoon, those seeds germinate, and before you know it, weeds are popping up through the cracks of the rock, and they don't have much earth. Now, I'm here to tell you, these are not people who aren't rooted in Christ. They have no root in themselves, means they lack commitment. When things get difficult and they're inconvenient, they're not going to follow the Lord. Hey, they're all for a convenient Christianity, but to live a holy life that's separated and pure before God Almighty, oh no, don't sign me up for that kind of a life. Sunday morning, Sunday night, wait, no, no, no. And so may God help you and I to say, Lord, help us to remove the rock of offense. We can be offended at the word of God. Even the Lord Jesus at one point had the multitudes leave, and he looks at the disciples and said, will you also go away? And may the Lord help you and I to say, God, I want my heart to be tender and fertile for the seed of your word, that God's word can flourish and grow in my life. So the first ground needs conversion. The second ground needs commitment. But I want you to see the third ground with me in verse number 7. The Bible says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now, this is a ground that needs consecration. The Bible talks about the fact that these weeds are growing up and literally choking out the Word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. I remember as a young boy, my grandmother would say, John, I want you to go tend to my garden. And I would say, well, what do you mean, Grandma? She'd give me some tools and say, go remove the rocks and pull the weeds. And I would say, well, Grandma, why do you want to do that? She says, we want to get some good strawberries and some good tomatoes and some good watermelon. And, you know, those are the items that I liked. I wasn't so big on the squash, all right, okay? And all of that. You know, God wants to grow a beautiful garden through your life and mine. And when we let rocks of offense... You know, I saw the Russes up here singing, and I saw Brother Johnson. I thought, they didn't invite me to sing, and that's one of my favorite songs. Can you believe that? And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to remove the rock of offense. They didn't even think about asking me. No, that didn't happen, all right? I don't want to offend you. If I got up to sing, I'd be offending you, so I don't want to do that either. But we have to be so careful that we don't allow ourselves to become offended over things that really don't matter. And so this is the person that needs to be consecrated. We have some weeds of worldliness that have to be pulled out. 1 John 2:15-16, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God says, look, the world passeth away. you know, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You and I need to be, every day of our life, we need to be in the Word of God, letting the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, reveal to us the rocks that we need to remove in our own heart and the weeds that need to be pulled in our own life, because we can allow things to choke out the Word of God. I love to hunt and I love to fish. I don't get to hunt and fish as much as I would like to. But the reality is, if I'm not careful, I could let hunting and fishing keep me from fulfilling the will of God. And I could let these things in my life that aren't bad in of themselves choke out the Word of God. And now I don't have time for church. And now I don't have time to be a witness. And now I don't have time to go to Sunday school. And now I don't have time to. And by the way, it's not just hunting and fishing. There's all kinds of things, if we're not careful, we can let choke out the Word of God in our life, and how careful we have to be. And then lastly is the good ground, and that is the need to be Christ-like. Amen. The need to be Christ-like. So we need to be converted. First and foremost, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today's the day of salvation. Secondly, we need to be committed. Lord, it doesn't matter what heartaches come and trials come, by the grace of God, I'm going to move on. And as we move forward in life, there are going to be some areas that we've got to pull some weeds and say, Lord, I'm not going to let these other things of life, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, I'm going to invest my life into what matters the most. And by the grace of God, I'm going to be consecrated. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. I'm going to be consecrated to serve you. And I realize that there's ground that's 30-fold, and there's some that's 60-fold, and there's some that's 100-fold, and I'm not competing with Pastor Coburnat, and I'm not competing with a David Russ, and I'm not competing with other people or other ministries. I'm simply trying to be the best I can be for the glory of God. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants to make Victory Baptist Church 100-fold. And I pray that God would give you a vision to be the best you can be for the cause of Christ as well. So who are you this morning? Are you converted? Have you trusted Christ? Are there areas of your life that you lack commitment in? And as we are in the early weeks of 2024, maybe this morning you can say, Lord, I'm going to commit myself to every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Maybe you need to say, well, I'll commit myself to a Sunday school class, a new class that's starting, or whatever the case may be. And maybe you're over here, you've been saved for a little while, but there's some things that you've let kind of choke out the Word. And by the grace of God, you're going to be more fruitful by sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, living for what matters most, and that is eternity. And we think of the next generation. I'm so grateful for what God has in store for your Christian school as we look at the months ahead and the weeks ahead. To God be the glory. That's so exciting. And may we say, God, by the grace of God, I want you to use my life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I want my soil, the soil of my heart, to be fertile, Lord, and a place that I can receive the seed of God's word. And by his grace, I want to give time and patience. The Bible talks about patience and seeing that come up. I'll leave you with this last story. Our daughter, my wife and I, we have 3 boys and 1 girl. And when she was a little girl, she ate an apple and she saw the seed in the apple core. She says, Daddy, this is a seed. I'm going to go plant an apple tree. She ran out to the backyard, got a little spade, dug a little hole, put that seed in there, covered it up with a bunch of dry dirt, you know, grabbed the garden hose, stuck some water on there, and then she went inside and took a nap. She come running out after a nap. She just knew there was going to be an apple tree in the backyard, and she was so disappointed to the point of tears when she got there and there was no apple tree growing in the backyard. It takes time. But let's just keep sowing the seed on fertile soil.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnat. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.